Bytes is for informational and educational purposes only. Nothing on the show is advice. No financial, tax, legal, or any other kind of advice. Nothing we say is an inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy. Anything you invest in is at your own risk. Do your own research and consult with professionals.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another bold and beautiful episode of Terabytes. I've got some boys from down under, and they're probably going to make fun of my Aussie accent, but that's okay. These are the Loop guys. I've got Tom. He's the co-founder of Loop. I also have Simon, who is the head of Loop Learn. And Loop, I mean, they've done it all. They've given you an application that's like a almost like a new WeChat in your hand, but it's for everything. They've got a Dex. They've got publishing. They've got a way for you to get on there and basically spend your money if you want to. They've got on-ramps, off-ramps. And now they're going to start to teach you how to actually learn crypto if you're a newbie to the game. And that's what we're here to talk about tonight. So I welcome both Tom and Simon. Gentlemen, first of all, how are we doing?
Great.
Surviving?
Yeah, surviving. I've had a tough week. I had finally got COVID. I think I'm the last person in Melbourne to get COVID by the looks of the statistics. But it's been tough. But apart from that, we're doing great. Yeah, Loop itself is doing so well. I mean, better than we'd ever hoped, I guess. And so it's great to finally have some really strong traction, and our liquidity on our DEX is rising. Rising quickly. Getting heaps of great community feedback. Now we've sort of, squashed a lot of the bugs which we had in our initial beta versions. And really looking forward to launching our Loop Learn, which Simon's been working super hard on, and we've been working with you guys and with TFL, obviously. Simon, maybe you can give us a bit of an update on how that's going.
Yeah, it's good. So obviously, Evan, we've been chatting about this for a while. Loop Learn, the whole idea was to basically bring in better onboarding and crypto education. So currently, with YouTube and a lot of these platforms, there lacks a little bit of a learning flow when it comes to learning about crypto. You may have seen some videos like Whiteboard Crypto, those kind of channels. They're great explainers using analogies and stuff like that to explain crypto. But a lot of the time when you jump on YouTube, you only see pieces and different bits and pieces of those different videos. So how our whole idea at Loop Learn was to bring in this learning journey and this gamified learning experience where users could come on, select which level they're at, and learn about crypto from a very basic level and a very kind of intro level with, animations and gamifications. And then we're building in, and like an earn to learn feature as well for users to, to attract more users and stuff like that. So it's very exciting. We're building a series for Terra onboarding as well. There's going to be ecosystem projects built in as well. So a section for different Terra ecosystem projects with explainer videos. And we're partnered with TFL on this. We're working hard building these incredible high quality animated videos. So it's extremely exciting.
So I think this is a huge, there's a huge gap for this sort of thing in the ecosystem. And really, I mean, there's a lot of people out there trying to tell you about crypto, but as you guys know, and as I'm sure a lot of our viewers know, it's easy to begin using acronyms that nobody understands or using the really, it goes over their head. And even myself being like, a huge big brain genius, there are certain conversations that come up and I have no idea what anybody's talking about. So it happens to the best of us. And I'm curious, you mentioned gamification. I think that's a very important way, and it's a fun way to kind of engage people. So can you tell us more about that? What is the gamified version of learning with Loop Learn?
Yeah, so that's something we're still working on. So obviously the initial stages of Loop Learn is building the video content. We're building a really, really awesome platform. So we've broken down an LMS and we're building this really cool platform. But we're basically adding gamification in stages. So, we've been working on possibly building, well, not possibly, but working on kind of building out like an NFT earn feature so that you could, take quizzes and learn NFTs. I know that we've talked about, and we've actually built out already like an on-chain experience. So you might learn about liquidity pools, for example, and then you actually have to jump on to, the Loop DEX and perform, and add to a liquidity pool. And then, registers that you've done it and then you earn an NFT. So kind of building these features and it's kind of adding stage by stage this gamification. The important part of gamification, not only does it engage, is when you're giving up free educational content, And I learned this by, you know, I come from, you know, building education in crypto and courses. In terms of, you know, providing value to users and having an engaging normies and mainstream people, you either have to charge to have for people to have skin in the game, or you have to provide an extra incentive for people to learn. Because when information is free, the majority of people don't always take it seriously, or they don't engage as much. So building that gamification in, the ability to incentivize people to learn will is more likely to keep people engaged through the whole learning process. So
yeah, part of it also, I mean, what we're really looking to do is, as Simon mentioned, obviously build out these kind of on-chain quests. So that's kind of the end goal, I guess, is where you learn about a particular topic. As Simon said, you know, for example, providing liquidity and maybe farming. And the idea then will be that after you've learnt that content, you'll then have to go and perform, you know, various on-chain actions. And then you'll come back to our platform where it'll check to make sure that your wallet has performed those on-chain actions, and then you'll be able to mint an NFT. And the idea then will be that you perform a number of these types of quests, and it won't only be quests on Loop. We're also looking at obviously having quests for all of the other protocols that are on Terra as well. So, you know, you might have to go and deposit on Anchor, or you might have to go and borrow from Anchor, for example, and then you can come back to Loop and mint an NFT. And the idea there will be, you, after you've minted a certain number of NFTs, you'll be able to burn those NFTs, and that will give you like a next level NFT, which will have some sort of utility on Loop. For example, maybe you'll get an extra airdrop, or, you know, certain other sort of things. Or we might even partner up with other projects where having one of those NFTs gives you sort of special access on someone else's platform. So we're kind of going to create this. It's not only, a gamification platform, but it's actually kind of like a co-marketing sort of platform as well, where we're sort of helping our users to go and learn about, you know, other projects that are building on Terra, and then, you know, get some sort of additional utility or additional advantage for having done that. So that's kind of like a long-term goal for that.
Yeah, that's super interesting. What you're talking about, it kind of reminds me, this is a stupid analogy, but it kind of reminds me of like the Boy Scouts, which is something we have here in the US. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that, but you do certain tasks and achievements and you get a badge for it. And then, you know, once you have a certain amount of badges, you maybe achieve that certain level and you become an Eagle Scout, or I don't know. I was never in the Boy Scouts, but I'll tell you. Go ahead.
I was in the Boy Scouts, and yeah, I love those badges. I would do anything for those badges.
So maybe that was the inspiration then. Was that the inspiration, Tom?
Maybe it was. Looking back on it, maybe that's where it came from.
Part of it was, we looked at, you know, other platforms that were earned to learn, like Coinbase and stuff like that. And you really look at it, and just giving out tokens for learning is okay, but it's not, you know, obviously tokens, then you're giving out extra emissions. But also like the ability to build so much extra gamification by giving out NFTs is amazing. Like you could build out like a full NFT series and create a full, pretty much a game experience from it. And then these NFTs can have utility added to them. And that's even better. And it's almost like an awesome lead magnet for Loop as well, because if we're giving them NFTs that give them benefits on Loop or whatever it is, then, you know, you're keeping people and you're, you know, plugging people into the community and you're doing all this stuff. It's a very important part of keeping people engaged and creating this kind of culture around learning and onboarding to crypto, especially for mainstream or newbies coming in. It's very important for them to kind of have that support as well. So bringing them into the community is another part of that, for example.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that's super powerful, and at least like for me personally, the way that I learn is it's very easy to like talk about concepts, right? And for us to sit here and watch a YouTube video or listen to a podcast, or for someone just to explain something to you. But until I actually click the link and connect my wallet and start actually interacting with the platform itself, sometimes I just can't grasp a concept until I've done it. And then I see that and I'm like, oh, this is how it works. Okay, now I can kind of put my own little packaging on how I explain it to other people. And so I think that's super powerful. And I think that's a great way to do it. And I just want to expand a little bit on something you mentioned, Tom. It seems like you guys might even be looking potentially like for partners, which are different applications built on top of Terra Luna that could benefit from this, because they're trying to onboard users and they're trying to sort of outsource that like first, you know, whatever you want to call it, first two or three steps to get into their platform. Is that something that you guys are interested in, is partnering with other dApps or applications on top of Terra Luna?
Absolutely. Yeah, look, I mean, we're always interested in that, obviously, because, you know, as a DEX, we're always looking to list liquidity from other projects, you know, have their tokens listed on our DEX. But, you know, aside from that, from the learning perspective and on the learning portal, we're 100% looking to partner with, you know, as many other applications or dApps on Terra as possible. And I think even the video series that we're creating with TFL, you know, part of that is also creating videos for some of the other protocols that are on Terra as well. So, yeah, look, partnering, I mean, that's the beauty of blockchain, right? Like, it's so easy to create partnerships because obviously, it's, you know, we're all sharing the same chain, and therefore it's really easy to do those kind of collaborations, you know, between protocols. But, you know, I think particularly on Terra, like the Terra community is amazing, you know, very close-knit community. It's still small enough that it's, you know, everyone kind of gets to know each other. And so, yeah, look, we're definitely looking for partnerships with other applications. So, yeah, if there's any other founders out there watching this, then get in touch with us and we can work towards creating, you know, not only a few videos, like a video series, to teach people about how to use your protocol, but then also add in this gamification layer as well. So yeah, get in touch.
And I want to talk a little bit more about Loop Learn. And I want to ask maybe some questions like at a higher level here. Personally, I feel like I've been through a lot of conversations with people where they ask me about crypto and they say like, oh, Evan, you know, you're into crypto. What do I do to get into crypto? And it's, and again, this is from like the US standpoint. For you guys, it might be a little bit different. But I always say, okay, well, step one, like you should, I guess, download Coinbase. But you don't want to keep your money on Coinbase. And all of a sudden, like now I'm already having these conflicting messages for people because I'm telling them download Coinbase because it's the easiest way for them to on-ramp in the US. But I'm also saying like, but you don't want to hold your funds there. And they're like, well, why don't I want to hold my funds there? And I say, well, because you don't actually own your funds when they're there. It's like a bank. So, you know, maybe you have FDIC insurance when your funds are on Coinbase and you're insured like a normal bank account, but you don't have full control over them. And Coinbase, you know, in theory could take the funds whenever they want. And they say, well, wait a minute, why wouldn't I want it? You just get into this crazy philosophical battle, right? And I'm sure you guys have been down this road before. So I'm curious to hear like from both of you, whenever you're building out Loop Learn, what do you think is like an important place? Like where's an important starting point for people? And what do you think are like some of the most important lessons to teach people whenever they're first getting into crypto as a newbie or as a normie, as we like to call them?
Yeah. So this is an interesting part of kind of what I've built in for my experience in teaching newbies in crypto. With Loop Learn, I've gone obviously more the DeFi route than pushing straight into CeFi. But I have, we're pretty much, one of the videos being built at the moment is actually DeFi versus CeFi. So actually explaining the difference between custody and wallets in a really basic way. So explaining, you know, that obviously CeFi platforms are great places for newbies to onboard, but long-term, they're not great because of the, you know, possible security risks and the fact that you don't actually control your crypto. So it's been kind of the way that I structured it is going conceptual first. So explaining the why some exists. So why crypto? Not just, oh yeah, jump into crypto, you're going to make a bunch of money. It's, you know, the very basic why of why it exists and how, you know, how it draws value and all this sort of stuff. And then explaining more technicals. So leading with concepts and then bringing in technicals behind the scenes. But yeah, I agree with you in terms of like, it can be quite overwhelming for beginners. So I think it's just using the basic analogies and trying to create a strategic step-by-step process that someone can plug into that can help them to, you know, set up in crypto and understand it and then how to set up their basic wallets and stuff like that without being too crazy.
Yeah, normally what I do when I'm asked this exact question is I just, you know, initially start off by getting people into crypto. Like we, you know, I tell them to use the Australian equivalent of Coinbase, which is, you know, CoinSpot or one of the other options. And then I usually don't say anything for a while. I just keep quiet. And, you know, after, say, 6 months, I'm like, okay, how's your crypto going? Okay, doing well. Okay, now maybe think about moving it, you know, into your own wallet and, So kind of just give them, like, you know, pace out the education rather than trying to kind of rush them with all the information at once. Because obviously, just even for, you know, for a normie, even just setting up an account on a crypto exchange can sometimes be a bit daunting, right? Like, even just purchasing crypto in the first place can be daunting. They're like, oh my God, like, the value of this thing could go down 50% tomorrow. And quite often it does. Well, maybe not 50%, but, you know, 30%. And then they're already freaking out. They're like, what's happening? So, you know, there's kind of that I feel like that in itself is a learning curve, like, that people have to get over. And that is, like, getting used to that volatility. And then once they're used to the volatility, they're like, okay, yes, crypto goes up, it goes down. Who knows? It goes sideways, it goes roundabout. Once they kind of, hopefully up, that's right. Well, long term it goes up, right? I mean, well, so far, you know, so far so good. But so if you wait long enough, it's going to go up. And then once they're used to the volatility, then starting to kind of educate them about, you know, non-custodial wallets, and then about DeFi, you know, all these other great things you can do with your, you know, with your crypto. But yeah, I feel like that's the first sort of learning curve, really.
And this is one of the most important things. I know they're quite complex to kind of break down, but just basic concepts, like, I'm building out the Terra, you know, the onboarding for, you know, Terra Station wallet. And one of the big ones is, you know, having a guide on how to set up a ledger. And it's not the first video. It's obviously Terra, you know, how to set up a Terra Station wallet from a basic perspective, but how to set up a ledger from a very, very basic step-by-step guide. And integrating it to Terabytes, because we all know, especially with browser wallets and things like that, that, you know, having Ledger and having your funds safe is really important for a beginner jumping into crypto, especially if they want to onboard large amounts of money. It's also being aware of the risks and the scams and the things out there that we might overlook because we've been in for a while, but those, you know, those beginners jumping in, that's their first exposure too. So,
yeah, and even as someone who's been in the space for a while, I can't tell you how many times everybody gets constantly, people try to scam you. I would like to boast that I don't get scammed, but even like something as simple as just sending a transaction, right? Like, let's say you're going to go from like a native Terra wallet into an exchange. Whenever I first started in crypto and I started dealing with like relatively larger amounts, I would like triple check that number, right? That address, and be like, all right, let me make sure. And there are times where I went through every single digit to make sure it matched. And nowadays I feel like even with the ease of use, it's almost like it's a bug, not a feature for the ease of use, because now I'm like, I'm getting lazy sometimes and I'll send a transaction and I'll be like, oh, I've done this a million times. I'll just, you know, I'll send this transaction. And then I'm like, all of a sudden start panicking as I'm like, you know, as I see the little Terra Station satellite sort of blasting off because the transaction's running through, and I'm like, wait a minute, shit, did I copy the right address in there? And so there's just a lot of different, you almost have to change someone's mindset. And it's interesting. And, you know, I think about this a lot, and I pontificate this about this a lot with different people about the difference between a user on Web 2 and a user on Web 3, and how you almost have to like retrain the way that you interact with your hardware and with your software. And, you know, and just like a very basic example of this is, think about just paying transaction fees. You know, somebody who maybe is only used to using Twitter and Facebook, you never pay transaction fees to use those platforms, right? But you, at the end of the day, your data doesn't belong to you, and you're paying in a different way. You're giving away almost, you know, information, private information about you to other people to, you know, sell you ads or sell you whatever. And so it's worth it to pay a little bit of a transaction fee to be able to like own that data and own whatever value you can kind of extract from any platform in Web3 and in this new future. And so it takes a while for people, I think, to like wrap their mind around that. So hopefully I'm not rambling here. Hopefully you guys are, you kind of connected with what I'm saying here, or is this, does this not make sense?
Yeah, no, 100%. 100%. Yeah.
And this is where, this is also where I've gone very conceptual with some of the Loop Learn videos, is painting a lot of vision for crypto. So for the human brain, it's a lot easier for somebody to understand concepts than it is for someone to understand technicals. So if you can paint vision first, so, and it's the same thing we talked about volatility before. If you're painting enough vision about behind the why of crypto and what place is it, what's it really doing in the world, and what's the future and all this sort of stuff, you it's not like a foolproof way of you know, going around their stresses around volatility and stuff, but it really helps because it shows people, it's like, oh, this is 5 years, this is 10 years, this is the future. And these are the pieces, and each different piece, like what's the vision of NFTs, more so than just, you know, a profile picture NFT of an ape. Like, what's the power of the tech? What's the concept and the vision, the power of the technology of NFTs for the future? And what can it allow us to do in 5 years, 10 years? And building that conceptual thing and then leading with, well, what is it actually? But starting with that concept builds a big enough vision that people can kind of wrap their heads around a bit better around, oh, well, this is the wave that's moving and I don't want to miss this.
I think people also, once people understand the why, they're much more willing to learn the technicals. You know, if you're trying to teach people something technical without explaining to them why they should bother, like, absorbing this information, the brain just automatically rejects it. I mean, in most cases, some people are just, you know, freaks and they just soak up anything. But most people have a filter on their brain which says, I'm not going to absorb any information unless I understand why first. And so, yeah, I think teaching them that then opens them up to being like, okay, I'm going to go through this step by step and, you know, make the effort to actually memorize these sort of technical details. And, yeah, it makes a huge difference to people's learning experience.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And I don't want to seem like a miserable old bastard of crypto and, you know, yelling at these young kids to get off my lawn. But sometimes there's newbies or normies that get into it and they're like, hey, have you heard about this or, you know, this project or this NFT? And I'm like, dude, what is the ethos of that? Like, you're just trying to have number go up. You're just trying to make money or, you know, speculate on something. It's just, you might as well go to the casino and pull the slot handle. Right. And I think it's super important to just, take the approach that you guys are taking here, where you really teach people the why. And, you know, in my opinion, it does start with Bitcoin. It all started with Bitcoin. And, like, what makes Bitcoin important? You know, what is monetary policy? Why are we affected by inflation? Or, you know, what is the impact of banking regulation? And so, I mean, I'm sure we can dive into it. We could go all night on, you know, if you want to get good on that route. But I think we should dive into, you know, what is like the user experience when they're using Loop Learn? What if I'm going to go and I guess, is there a sign up process? Maybe not. But if I'm going to go and basically begin my journey in Loop Learn, what can I expect to learn? What are the stages of it? And what can I take away from it after I've gone through the whole thing?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we're currently building it out in stages, obviously trying to get it rolled out. So most of the gamification won't be there in the V1 version, for example. So we're looking at around Feb 2nd to Feb 4th launch for the platform. So we've, you know, obviously the devs been working on building this learning experience, and we'll have the first 7 videos up by then. They're very high quality animated videos, so they do take a little bit more time. But the whole idea so far and the structure that we've built out at the moment is to have multiple different courses with different levels. So start off with, you know, intro to crypto is the first section. So we'll have intro to crypto that's broken down into multiple modules. So we're, you know, the first few videos are, you know, what is crypto? What is blockchain? Proof of work versus proof of stake, but still bringing in the why of why it exists before bringing it in. And it's split across like that. And then, you know, course two is really building into Terra. So, you know, starting off with, you know, what is Terra, like why and what is Terra, how does it work, you know, what are the benefits of Terra, then going into, you know, onboarding guides. So, you know, how to set up Terra Station Wallet, how to set up a ledger and connect it to Terra Station Wallet, how to load funds, you know, all this stuff, validate, you know, how to stake your Luna, all these guides, getting into DeFi and Loop, so liquidity pools, farms, staking, what is Loop, going through Loop. And then, you know, ecosystem projects, going through Anchor, Mirror, all these sort of platforms. So it's going to be these individual courses. In the initial version, you won't have to sign in. I'm trying to find out the best way to create sign-ins so that they're, you know, optional, that you don't have to give an email address, for example. So giving, you know, multiple options for users. So one of them may be Connect Wallet and use NFTs as a profile picture, for example. So first version won't be sign in. I kind of want to always have an option to give people, you know, that they don't necessarily have to. But obviously if they want access to the gamification, it will be, you know, Connect Wallet, sign in, They'll have a profile. They'll go through earning NFTs and stuff like that. So, yeah. A quiz, there's obviously quizzes built in as well. So you'll get through the module and at the end you'll have a quiz. They'll ask you questions. You'll go through. Yeah. Does that answer your question?
No. Yeah. I think that gives me a great picture of what to expect. It's not just someone talking at you the whole time. It's more interactive. And like I said, I think what's super powerful about learning is when you actually get to engage and you get skin in the game. I'll often joke with people and say, you know, I don't research protocols. I just ape in, and that forces me to then do some research on the protocol, because now I'm either going to make money or lose money, and I better know exactly what's going on. So I think once you can, you know, obviously this is still being built, but once you can implement more and more of that, I think that's going to be a super powerful tool for people to begin learning and engaging. And, you know, Coinbase, how many people sign up and just like, they don't know anything about, I don't know, what's something that you earn on Coinbase, EOS. They don't know anything about EOS. Let's bring up EOS, and they'll earn a couple of EOS, and, you know, they're just in it to earn EOS on the platform. But at the end of the day, they learn and they earn, and you know, they can be easily integrated into the ecosystem, and they have a little bit of that knowledge that they can take away and, you know, spread the gospel of EOS or whatever you want to call it at that point. So
the problem that I've found with CoinMarketCap Earn and Coinbase Earn and these platforms is you're getting beginners that come on and they watch these videos about EOS and all these platforms. They use words like, you know, blockchain validators, proof of stake, all this stuff. Users have absolutely no idea what it is. So they're learning about EOS and they're learning about NEAR. They're learning about all these platforms, but they haven't actually been onboarded to understanding any of the crypto jargon or any of the crypto stuff. So it's great to learn about ecosystem projects, but unless they either super simplified to the point that they don't use any like big words or they're completely basic, or the user has already got kind of a rundown of the real basics, the real basic concepts of crypto, it's hard to really onboard people and to educate them about those platforms. Obviously, you know, when you're breaking down platforms like Prism, they're going to be a more advanced anyway. Like, it's going to be very hard for you to take a beginner and teach them in this in a very short space of time so they understand it completely. But with most projects, if they can have a basic understanding, even with something like Anchor, if they can have a basic understanding of, you know, DeFi and lending protocols and how they cut out the middleman, it becomes a lot easier to explain these protocols.
Yeah, I think, you know, especially being part of Terabytes, I feel like we're always sort of talking to two audiences. And I think anybody who makes content in the crypto space should understand that. You're always talking to, and this is what makes it a bit difficult. You're always talking to, at the same time, people who, like, they understand everything and they're ready to just get the alpha, right? They want the alpha leak. But then at the same time, you're also still talking to the people that, you know, that maybe it's their first or second day learning, or it's taken them a while. I will never pretend to be like some big brain person that understands all these concepts on even this is day. What day is this now? Like, you know, 4,566 of me in crypto. And I still, like, it takes me a while to understand things like Prism, things like even Anchor. You know, I had to basically use it before I understood what the hell was going on. And so you have to be mindful of those two different audiences at once. And you have to kind of like cater to both of their needs at the same time. I don't know if Tom, do you feel the same way?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, whenever I'm talking to someone, obviously, you know, I'm trying to. So, I mean, the first thing you try to do if it's just an individual is obviously work out, you know, where they're at in their learning and their knowledge. You know, what sort of prior knowledge they have. And I think in education, I mean, one of the big. I actually used to be an English teacher for many years, like back in the day, and I think in teaching, one of the sort of biggest mistakes you can make is like assumption of prior knowledge, right? So assuming that the person you're talking to understands something that you're using that thing to explain something else, and then you're already assuming that they know about this, and it's it's really hard to kind of to especially if you're talking to a broader audience, obviously, you know, give enough information so that newbies understand what you're talking about, but you're not boring the more experienced kind of listeners at the same time with too much explanation of sort of basic concepts. So I think that's where something like, you know, Loop Learn is going to be a fantastic resource that, you know, people can just go there before they watch any Terabytes episodes or read any of the articles in the Loop community or, you know, dive into
YouTube. You're trying to front run Terabytes? Is that what you're saying?
We're trying to front run you guys.
Partnerships, right?
we're trying to bring your listeners up to the point where they can understand what you guys are talking about. Put it that way.
maybe I should sign up for Loop Learn, because sometimes when Pete's talking, I have no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah, so, no, I get the same. Like half the time, I'm, you know, yeah, in this space, you're listening to stuff and you're like, wow, what is going on here?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I feel the same way. And there's so much out there to learn. I mean, it's impossible for someone to understand every single concept, every single, you know, little detail about all the protocols out there. And, you know, for anybody listening or watching, I think, you know, you should never get discouraged. It's so easy, and this is, you know, coming from my own experience, it's so easy for you to, like, continuously hear a term or a protocol that someone mentions and just kind of like write it off as like, oh, okay, like I'll just let that slide and won't look into it. And like maybe eventually like no one will ever bring that up again. It's very easy to let those things go, you know, acronyms or whatever it is. But one thing I actively try to do is whenever somebody brings something up, either don't be afraid to ask them like, wait a minute, hold on, slow down. What are you talking about? Please define that for me. Like I'm not in the loop here, pun intended. You know, do some research on your own. And that's where I think like the learning really happens, is when somebody is bringing up some term that maybe you're not familiar with. For example, like liquidity pools, that's a very complicated concept, right? People aren't going to figure that out right off the bat. And if somebody's just trying to get into crypto and on day three, you're talking to them about, you know, well, slippage, like what the hell? It's hard for me to even understand what slippage is at this point. And I've been dealing with DEXs for how long that are using liquidity pools. So, you know, I just would, as a public service announcement to anybody listening or watching, you know, don't be afraid to ask questions if people are talking about things you don't know, and always like go and research these things, because you actually feel yourself learning. I feel like I can feel myself learning whenever I research these things. And I think Loop Learn is going to be a really important aspect of that when people begin to start Googling and searching, and hopefully you guys can give them a nice track to sort of go on that'll give them a foundation to begin. So I'm going to quiz both of you now. I'm going to put you both on the spot.
Just don't ask us about slippage, Evan, that's all.
Don't ask about slippage. So curious. What do you guys think if a first timer came up to you, or just like we'll call them a normie or a newbie, and they said, "Why should I invest in Luna?" What is your why for that? And I'm gonna make Simon go first, and then Tom, you have to come up with a different answer.
Wow. Okay.
Ooh, that's a good question. I would probably start rambling on about, you know, the importance of having money that nobody controls.
That's a good start.
I'd probably come up. I would talk about, you know, obviously the importance of, that is a hard question because most people that would come up and ask me about Terra Luna, I would normally just send them to a video breaking down Terra Luna and how it, you know, the why of Terra Luna rather than explaining it. But
I've got a good answer. Maybe can I give my answer first?
All right, Tom's going to front run you, Simon.
Yeah, I'm going to front run you on this one, Simon. I think, you know, Luna, I think the real product on Luna is actually UST. I mean, it's not just UST. Sorry, the real product on Terra, it's not just UST, but all of the stable coins, but especially UST, obviously, because that's by far the biggest one at this point. Who knows? You know, maybe some of the others will get larger in the future. But at the moment, I mean, and I think the importance of having an algorithmic stablecoin is incredibly important to the stability of the crypto ecosystem. I mean, obviously at the moment, you know, I've got USDT and USDC, but they're both centralized. And if people, you know, if for some reason one of those companies collapsed or got, you know, apprehended by the government or shut down or something, that's going to decimate the crypto ecosystem. Not entirely decimate, but it's going to have a big impact on the crypto ecosystem. So I think the more that we can have a decentralized stable coin you know, throughout the crypto ecosystem, the stronger the ecosystem is going to be in general. And so therefore, I mean, the real product of Terra is these stable coins and UST in particular. And I think, you know, obviously the value of Luna then is based on the value of UST, and not in terms of the value, you know, obviously the value of one UST is always one US dollar, but in terms of the market cap of UST. So obviously as the market cap of UST grows, you know, the value of Luna is going to increase. And so if you think that there is a need for a decentralized algorithmic stablecoin in the crypto ecosystem, which I firmly do believe there is a need for that, and I think that's an amazing product, and I think it's a product which is just going to continue to get more and more popular, and therefore the market cap of UST is going to continue to grow, then the value of Luna is obviously correlated with that, you know, quite strongly. And therefore, I think, you know, the tokenomics between Luna and UST are very smart. I mean, obviously, you know, it's a brilliant invention of Doge, and, you know, something that we're all thankful for. So yeah, I mean, that's my answer. I mean, that's a bit of a complex answer probably for a normie as to why to invest in Luna. Maybe you have a simpler answer, Simon.
I think I do, actually. I'm building it in my head because I talk about this anyway, but it's usually the end of a tangent because I like to ramble on about stuff and go deep. I would go down the route of maybe an analogy around explaining PayPal and fintech platforms that people normally use. And, you know, maybe bring up the problem and talk about, you know, the efficiencies with banks and money transfers that are currently existing in PayPal. Like, do you know the problem that you currently have when you're sending from a bank to bank and it takes 3 days, or you're paying with you're wanting a refund on your card and it takes, you know, 3 to 4 days? Maybe you're talking about, you know, how the efficiencies of a decentralized stablecoin or stablecoin like UST can be integrated with these real world fintech applications to create, you know, kind of the back end of the things that we currently know and do right now. So when you're paying, you know, someone with Stripe or you're paying a business, and currently we're using fiat currency, which has to go back to banks and all this sort of stuff and all over the place. Instead, a company like PayPal, these companies could build in UST into the back end of their platforms so that we're using payment rails of UST, for example, similar to what Cato's doing and stuff like that. In that aspect, then money is efficient, it's transparent, it's behind the scenes. The user might not be seeing anything that's going on, but it is using UST. And then Luna comes in to regulate the supply of UST, and it acts as a, you know, as a basically a stabilizer and a almost like a central bank or something that regulates the supply of UST and appreciates in value depending on the use of UST. That's probably how I would go down that route, is trying to give an analogy for UST's integration into the mainstream apps that they know, and then kind of go back from that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point, actually. And it's actually one of the reasons I first got into Terra and first became really interested in Terra, was because we were building a mobile app for hospitality businesses. And retail businesses, like a kind of on-demand delivery app. And we were looking for some sort of crypto integration into that app. And obviously, you know, for that, we needed a stable coin. And we're in Australia, so we actually needed an Australian dollar stable coin, which you know, I didn't think existed until I found AUT, which is pretty much, as far as I know, still the only, you know, Australian dollar stable coin. And so I think if crypto is going to go mainstream, then it needs to start using fiat currencies, because obviously merchants, you know, around the world, they want to transact in their local currency. And so I think, you know, for this reason, like, Terra has one of the biggest opportunities to become one of the mainstream, you know, to kind of connect with that mainstream market and connect with that traditional retail market, like you were saying, Simon, and sort of the bricks and mortar, you know, market of sort of regular businesses who still want to transact in their local fiat currency, but they might also want to have access to some of the, you know, the amazing yields and things like that that DeFi is able to create. So it's probably got the biggest chance of bringing the masses to crypto, I suppose, which is, you know, one of the reasons we're building on Terra.
Well, I'm certainly excited for some of these fiat on and off ramps, and some of these even like Forex solutions that are coming out. We had an interview with Vertex earlier this week. They're looking at increasing the liquidity of AUT, and hopefully then you know, that will consequentially increase the utility of AUT. I'm sorry. Did I just say the utility twice?
I'm not sure, but you've said it a third time.
Anyway.
You're doing a Biden. You're doing a Biden.
Yeah. there's a ton of good there's a ton of awesome fiat on and off ramps. I think we're really just seeing the beginning. I mean, you know, I think 2021 proved that there is a use case for this decentralized stablecoin UST. And hopefully, if anything, 2022 will prove that there's an easy threshold to move that between, you know, the real world, the meat space, and you know, our station wallets. And I think the easier that becomes, especially for you guys building applications for you know, whatever it is, if it's food delivery service, if it's sending peer-to-peer payments, if it's anything like that, the quicker and easier it becomes to on and off ramp, and sort of the quicker it becomes, or the easier it becomes to abstract away that crypto layer, especially for normies, you know, the more ubiquitous it will become and the more users we'll get. So gentlemen, has there been anything that we haven't talked about that you would love to mention now? Please speak now or forever hold your peace.
Look, apart from Loop Learn, I think one of the other products that we've got coming up in the next, probably in the next few weeks, actually, is our NFT marketplace, something that we're super excited about. Where we've created kind of in collaboration with Andromeda Protocol, we've created these unique kind of DeFi NFTs, which essentially yield-bearing NFTs. So we'll have a number of options. One will be LP NFT bonds, which means people can lock up their liquidity in these NFT bonds, which then they get a yield on those NFTs. And the other one is just literally just yield-bearing NFTs themselves. So they're not linked to a liquidity position. It's just an NFT which you can purchase, which then will release a certain number of tokens over a set period of time. So that can be used, for example, for fundraising. If a project wants to raise funds, they can sell a bunch of these NFTs, raise funds through the sale of the NFTs, and then the users can claim their tokens essentially by staking the NFT and claiming their tokens over a period of time, kind of like a vesting schedule. But, you know, they have the added benefit that they can actually sell that NFT at any point. So, you know, we're really looking forward. We've got a couple of great partnerships coming up with that. And we're, yeah, looking forward to sort of launching that NFT marketplace and seeing how the community reacts to this innovative product.
Andromeda Protocol, huh?
Yeah, we've been working closely with the guys there. They've built out the kind of the backbone for this new NFT architecture. And so we've sort of, you know, building in collaboration with them, using that not only for our NFT minting contracts, but also for the auction marketplace contracts as well.
Well, that's fantastic to hear. I love Cody and the guys over at Andromeda. So big shout out to them. And it's exciting to hear that they've got like a little hand in a product that's going to market. I also just want to mention, just taking a quick look at some of the liquidity pools that you guys have going. If you're a farmer, if you're chasing yield out there, there's some pretty high yields going on over at the Loop Dex. So definitely take a look at that. And I think Angel Protocol Halo is continuing to produce rewards for everybody in the Halo UST pool. So, and I see another one here that's at like close to 200%. You don't really see those at some of the more mature markets. So don't sleep on the Loop liquidity pools because they're still out there. They're still going strong. Gentlemen, Simon, first of all, did you have anything you wanted to add before we sign off here?
I do actually, because it's kind of important to the discussion that Tom's talking about the NFTs and Loop Learn. And as my good friend Super Terror on Twitter, he christened Loop as the Swiss Army knife of Terra. It's understanding that there's all these different products that Loop is developing, that we're developing, that all tie into each other. And in the same way that Terra is its own ecosystem, Loop is its own ecosystem of products. So, you know, Terra's got Anchor and Pylon and Mirror, and they all work together in, you know, in seamlessly. And Loop's working to the same, to kind of integrate everything from, you know, community. So Loop Learn drives into the DEX and drives into the community. The community drives into the DEX. You know, the DEX dives into the community, and everything works together, kind of like Apple and this ecosystem of products. And everything works to benefiting the DEX and increasing the value of Loop, increasing the value to community holders. So it's really, when you're looking at all these individual products launching, they all work together seamlessly to increase the experience on Terra and on Loop. And that will really carry forward for the future. So I thought I'd add that because it's really important.
Well, gentlemen, it's always a pleasure to have you on the Terabytes podcast. We appreciate everything that Loop's doing. Head over to loop.markets. There you'll be able to find the exchange. You'll be able to see the markets. You'll be able to check out this new NFT platform that they've got coming out. And, of course, Loop Learn whenever that's ready, whenever these things are ready to come out. And, of course, you've got the community there. If you're a writer, maybe I'll start writing, actually. I've got some good ideas for some blogs. And I know we've got an account going on over there, so maybe I'll start utilizing that a little bit more for you, Tom. I think you'll be happy if I do that, right?
I would be very happy. I'd love to see you guys on there.
All right. We will do our best to continue producing as much good content as we can. And we appreciate everything that you guys do for the community as well. So for Terabytes, for Loop, please like, rate, subscribe, do all the fun stuff that usually Pete tells you to do. But now I probably do more than Pete tells you to do. And continue discovering Terra, continue discovering Luna, continue utilizing UST, continue discovering Loop, continue learning on Loop Learn by discovering Terabytes. Cheers, everybody. Have a good night.